Greetings and welcome to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith. This is the second episode in our 2024-2025 recording season, and we continue to view The Fuse as a focus on enrichment about Confluence projects and a wider celebration of the important work being done by Toronto area musicians and companies. On this episode, we are sharing my recent conversation with the renowned Canadian actor R.H. Thompson and bassist and celebrated concert curator Allison Mackay, who has created so many wonderful programs for Tafel Music over the years. We'll speak specifically about their involvement in an upcoming Confluence project, Robert Burns, A Passion for Freedom. R.H. Thompson and Allison Mackay, my guests on this episode of The Fuse. Hello, and thank you so much for joining me. The days are getting a little shorter, and the musical calendar here in Toronto is chock full of fantastic events happening all over the city. I did manage to attend the final Art of Time production, Sankofa, The Soldier's Tale Reimagined, and it was a really splendid show. Congratulations to Andrew Barashko, who was my guest on the last episode of The Fuse. On this episode, we are concentrating on the next program for Confluence Concerts, Robert Burns, A Passion for Freedom, curated by Allison Mackay and featuring a dazzling array of guest artists, including the great Canadian actor R.H. Thompson. Well known to Toronto audiences as the bass player in Tafel Music Baroque Orchestra from 1979 until 2019, Allison Mackay still makes the occasional appearance as a performer and has continued to be active in the design of theatrical concerts combining music, words, and images. A number of her projects, including The Four Seasons, A Cycle of the Sun, The Galileo Project, The House of Dreams, and the Leipzig-Damascus Coffee House, have been made into feature documentary films and have been performed around the world. And her most recent project, Staircases, created in collaboration with the American singer Jonathan Woody, is being released in video form on the Tafel Music digital platform this autumn. R.H. Thompson has appeared in film and theater across Canada as Matthew Cuthbert in Anne with an E and as Marshall McLuhan in The Message by Jason Sherman. An advocate for the arts, R.H. has also worked on many history arts projects. He built The World Remembers, Le Monde se Souvient, an international commemoration exhibit now installed at war museums in Canada and the U.S. His book, By the Ghost Light, Wars, Memory, and Families, published in 2023, is a personal, emotional, and intensely engaging exploration of how the stories we tell affect the wars we fight. Allison Mackay and R.H. Thompson, welcome to The Fuse.
Thanks so much, Larry.
We are so looking forward to this program, Robert Burns, A Passion for Freedom. And R.H., maybe I could just ask you, how did the program come about?
It was Bob Misson, actually, who was a producer and sort of in Ontario and other parts of Canada. And he said, let's do a show about Robert Burns, which is always a good idea. Robert Burns is a great idea. But somehow, you know, working in The World Remembers another thing and knowing Allison and watching the combinations of music narrative that Tafel Music always does, I said to Robert, maybe we should approach a show about Burns in a way that speaks to Canada as we are now, because we're all peoples. So what about the Ukrainian community? Well, most of these are Allison's ideas, but let's speak how Burns works through various communities. So it's not just his poetry in isolation repeated again, but it's how his influence has reached into so many different communities around the world on the kind of message I read at some point that so much of Burns is in a very nice, poetic, romantic vein. But if you look at his political writing and his sense of nationalism, freedom, it's quite earnest, as I say. And he actually has a sting. And it's that nationalistic sting for the rights of women, the rights of men, the rights of peoples, which is the fuel under a lot of the poetry that we'll do. So, and that's where Bob said, well, let's get someone incredibly talented like Allison, who has this magic in putting together these evenings of music, words, and images. So, and there she is.
When you look around the world, it's astonishing how many Burns statues there are, how many Burns dinners are celebrated around the world. My eyes were certainly opened. I mean, Robert Burns has been part of my own family heritage for generations, but seeing the mark he made on all of these far-flung countries in many, many translations has been quite a revelation.
And do you remember that moment, Allison, when you were sort of invited into this project?
Yeah, Bob Misson phoned me, and then we had a kind of preliminary meeting, the three of us, and I said to Robert, why aren't you writing this? You're an amazing writer, and you should be doing this. But somehow we came to the arrangement where we're working on it together and kind of going back and forth a little bit on the script. I would say the evening is going to be kind of two-thirds music, one-third talking, something like that. But it's been a collaboration all along. There have been many, many meetings and visits to scone cafes to around the corner from the wonderful Shevchenko Museum in Toronto. And it's been a great journey over the past months.
So, Robert, what are some of the stories that you're delving into about Robert Burns' influence?
I always think you have to think of their upbringing. And he was a teenager when the American Revolution happened, and he was in his 20s when the French Revolution happened. And these are populist upheavals that are wildly revolutionary in Europe. And he's a young man. He feels this in the wind. And it's pretty exciting when you put him in that kind of nexus, so to speak. When he talks about the rights of women, when he talks about, you know, this freedom for them that can read and freedom that can them that can write, but none ever fear that the truth should be heard, but them whom the truth would indict, which in fact is a couplet that could actually apply to Donald Trump right now, that the truth and how people in power hide, meld, twist, represent the truth in order to maintain power over other people, and how people like Shevchenko and Robert Burns and Frederick Douglass all have to use actual truth, as Kamala Harris is trying to do, to actually maintain the fundamentals of rights and democracy, where those who have power are responsible to those they have power over. So it speaks very much to what's going to happen next week, and we're watching this play out right now. I'd love to hear what he would write about what was going on now.
Yes, I should say we're having this conversation on the eve of the American election, which, of course, is going to be very consequential as to how the future plays out. Allison, could you talk a bit about the research that you put into this show and some of the different areas that you went into investigating Robert Burns' tremendous influence?
Yes, these shows are always about stories. And sometimes when you're doing broad reading, I'm always a bit of a skimmer on these things. Don't have always deep knowledge, but the stories always pop out at me. And one very compelling one was the story of Frederick Douglass, the great orator, abolitionist. They say perhaps next to Abraham Lincoln, he was the greatest American orator. He was definitely the most photographed man in the 19th century. There's a collection of something over 100 amazing portraits of him. And he wrote very eloquently in a letter to a newspaper in the States and to a friend, letters about his trip to Scotland and how much a trip to Robert Burns's birthplace had moved him. And this was because he had been born into slavery. He had been forbidden, of course, to learn to read or write, but he'd been posted as a young boy in a house of a slave owner in Baltimore. And for a very brief period, the wife of his owner had taught him his letters and had begun to teach him to write until her husband found out. But a little learning is a dangerous thing. He said later that slavery and education are not compatible. He taught himself to read, became an absolutely brilliant scholar in all kinds of fields, brilliant writer, and he escaped from slavery. And when he escaped to the northern United States, one of the first things he did was to visit a bookstore. And in that bookstore, he pulled off the shelf a compendium of the works of Robert Burns. It was an edition that had been published in the United States. And he said that this was life-changing. And that book still exists. You can still see a photograph of it in the library of the University of Rochester. Mm-hmm. And in it is an inscription in his own handwriting that I always find people's original handwriting very compelling, very moving, and we'll be seeing images of that in the course of the concert. He says, "This is the first book that I bought, The Free Man, and I bequeath it to my son." And so that so when he went to Scotland, he had just escaped, and he was in danger of being hunted by bounty hunters in Canada and in the northern states. And so he was advised to go to Scotland. And while he was there, he went on a big speaking tour. And one of the big things he wanted to do was to visit Ayrshire, visit Burns's birthplace. And he met Robert Burns's younger sister. In this show, there's someone from each century. Burns was in the second half of the 18th century. Frederick Douglass was a great star of the 19th century. Rabindranath Tagore, the great Indian poet and playwright and statesman, was in the first part of the 20th century. And then we have someone from Ukraine who's an amazing person from the 21st century. But Frederick Douglass, when he went to Ayrshire, met Burns's youngest sister, who was by then a very, very elderly woman. And he was very struck by the welcome that he received as a Black man. He wasn't used to this in his own history. And he received a very warm welcome and wrote very, very eloquently about that. So as you can imagine, that caught our attention. And Frederick Douglass, portrayed by the wonderful Bo Dixon is channeling his words. He's becoming an important part of our story.
You are listening to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith, and on this episode, I'm speaking with curator Allison Mackay and actor R.H. Thompson about the upcoming Confluence Concerts program, Robert Burns, A Passion for Freedom, happening on Friday, November 15th and Saturday, November 16th at 7:30 p.m. at Heliconian Hall in Toronto. For tickets and more information, please visit confluenceconcerts.ca. We'll get back to that conversation in just a few minutes, but all this talk of Robert Burns has reminded me of a fantastic recording on the Atma label of the Montreal-based La Nef Ensemble, who released a lovely disc of Burns songs a number of years back, entitled My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose, featuring the glorious voice of Meredith Hall. Here they are with a simple and affecting rendition of Ye Banks and Braes.
Oh,
Robert Burns' Ye Banks and Braes, sung by Meredith Hall with lutenist Sylvain Bergeron, from the recording My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose by La Nef Ensemble. You are listening to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith. Now back to my conversation with curator Allison Mackay and actor R.H. Thompson about the upcoming show Robert Burns, A Passion for Freedom. I asked Allison if she could talk about one of the other subjects of the show, Ukrainian teacher Taisa Kripliva.
Again, just in reading, I stumbled on a beautiful piece of writing by a present-day Ukrainian teacher. She actually wrote it before the most terrible part of the present war. She wrote it around 2012. About her love of Robert Burns and the influence that he had had during her life. This was written for a Burns conference in Glasgow about Burns translations around the world. And there was a segment about Burns in Ukraine. It's quite well known that Burns was very, very popular in Russia. And there were many translations into Russian of Burns, but not quite so well known that he was also very important in Ukraine. And there's recently been a huge collection of all the Ukrainian translations of Burns been published just in the last couple of years. And I had read this piece and wondered if there was any way to find this teacher, get her permission to use her words. And I was able to track her down. I have a bit of a family connection in Scotland and found a friend of a friend who told me that she had gone into exile in the present war. She's probably in her, in her late middle age now. She's been teaching for many years. And she had been in the UK, but was back in the Ukraine. And I did manage finally to find her and started a very beautiful correspondence. She gave me permission to use the words and also told me quite a bit about her background. And most movingly, sent a bunch of incredible photographs of her students. And what happened was that she was taught Burns poems. She learned My Heart is in the Highlands in English when she was a child and developed a love of Burns. She found that Burns comforted her when she was going to school, being a very young person to her present age, and talked very movingly about how in the difficulties of Ukraine that Burns's love of beauty, his valuing, she says something about, he made me feel like a worthy person. And also I found strength in Ukraine's pursuit of liberty. And she started to correspond with Burns lovers around the world, and people started sending her stuff. They sent her articles and photographs and books. And there was a Burns club in Milwaukee that she got in touch with, and the president of that sent her quite a valuable collection of Burnsian material. And so in her little village in rural Ukraine, she started a Burns club and Burns Museum, and there are wonderful photos of her students drawing Burns as a plowman. And there was a deep connection between the Ukrainian national poet, Shevchenko, who loved the poetry of Burns. And he is perhaps the one who introduced Burns to Ukraine. And there are pictures of girls in Ukrainian dress holding portraits of Burns and Shevchenko. And again, we'll see that in the course of the show.
This is doing exactly what I'd hoped it would do, because Burns often sits in the nostalgia of the past. We are seeing Auld Lang Syne, and it's all safe, and it's from the past, and it's kind of a nostalgia for all things Scottish. But the flip side of that is exactly what Alison is describing, in how it continues to inspire people around the world, and especially in a place where it is at war at the moment. So it's getting poetry into the present, rather than sitting in the nostalgic past. And that's the point of this concert, through music, through words, through the combination of all the subjects that Alice is speaking about.
Yeah, one of the big themes for us, as Robert has said, is the kind of life-changing importance of poetry in people's lives. And I think that's something we've kind of lost in Canada. I have books upstairs that were my grandmother's, volumes of Tennyson and Wordsworth, and she didn't go beyond high school. She worked as a clerk at the City of Toronto, and these well-thumbed, notated volumes of poetry was of incredible importance to people. And when you read these stories of Frederick Douglass, of the teacher in Ukraine, you realize that it's still absolutely at the heart of things. Robert and Bob Misson and I went to visit the Shevchenko Museum on Bloor Street, which is something everyone should do. It's a wonderful place. And the director of the museum talked about learning these poems of Shevchenko when she was a child. And Robert immediately said, "Well, can you still recite anything?" And she just stood there and declaimed some, you know, goosebump rising stanza of poetry. And I don't think I could do that very well myself. And so we really want to give people that old feeling of what it was like to have your world kind of rocked by that material.
You are listening to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. We'll get back to the final portion of my conversation with Alison Mackay and R.H. Thompson in just a few moments. We've been talking about the poetry and the wide influence of the ideas of Robert Burns. In the final part of the interview, we do get to the music and a description of who and what we'll be hearing in the show. I'm particularly excited about one of the guest musicians, East Coast violinist David Greenberg, who was for years a member of Tafel Music and has made several recordings of traditional and original fiddle music. From his recent release, the remarkable recording entitled Multiple Voices for One, this is a little of the tune called Barbaras. David describes the album by saying that multiple voices refers not only to playing more than one musical line at a time, melody, harmony, or bass line, but also to the intermingling of different musical aesthetics, Baroque, Cape Breton, and my own tunes. This is Barbaras. Thank you. part of Barbaras, played by violinist David Greenberg from his latest recording, Multiple Voices for One. David will be performing in Confluence Concert's upcoming show, Robert Burns, A Passion for Freedom. Here is the final part of my conversation with Alison Mackay and R.H. Thompson. I asked Alison how music will fit into the show.
Well, Robert Burns himself was very musical. He played the fiddle. He played the guitar, a form of guitar now called the English guitar, which is a wire-strung kind of citron-like instrument. His instrument still survives in the Ayrshire Museum that about Burns. And he also set many of his most famous poems to music. He's thought of as the composer of many of these tunes. Mostly what he did was he was steeped in Scottish traditional music and lore. And he talks very interestingly in some of his biographical material about how his childhood nurse taught him about ghosties and ghouls, and that figures in our show a little bit too. But he took some of these old tunes and contributed to a huge collection of Scottish traditional poems and tunes. So we'll be drawing on some of that. There are some very, very beloved, familiar Burns poems and tunes. And then we have an incredible mix of musicians. Bo Dixon, the actor, is a composer and guitar player, a wonderful pianist. And he won't be playing piano in the show. He'll be playing guitar and singing, and he's created a new setting of a slave's lament with the text by Robert Burns. Supa Sankaran is creating a new setting of a beautiful poem about fireflies by Rabindranath Tagore, and she and Dylan Bell will be performing that. And then we have an amazing Scottish fiddler, David Greenberg, whom I think many of your audience might remember from his crossover Cape Breton group and from playing in Tafel Music. And he and Lucas Harris, playing on the lute and guitar, will be doing a little more of the traditional side. And then the last piece of the puzzle is Elina Kuzma, a young Ukrainian American Canadian singer and bandura player, and she'll be singing a song of Shevchenko and also My Heart's in the Highlands, which is the first tune that our Ukrainian teacher learned as a child. So you can see it's a kind of crazy mix of music done on old and modern instruments, and we haven't started our intensive rehearsal period yet, but it's going to be kind of amazing to see how it's all going to fit together.
I think it can be a traditional Burns night and an expanded idea of what a traditional Burns night could be. Yes, come with your kilt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There will be food because Alison has introduced the idea of the common table into this, and the food that comes from all the different cultures. So yes, bring it all. It will be traditional Burns and a whole lot more.
Well, thank you both for speaking about it. I don't know if I've missed anything in this conversation, but it's just a terrific project, and we're so proud at Confluence Concerts to be able to present premiere.
I'll just say one thing about the music that Alison has been putting together. One thing that kind of feeds me as an artist is the mixing of diverse styles. And somehow with these different musical traditions all come together, different instrumentations from different communities from around the world, I find that incredibly exciting, because you never know when it confluences, let me use that word, you never know what may come out of it. But for me, it's always enriching. So it's that mixture of styles that I can't wait to hear. Lucas Harris playing, I mean, backgrounding Scottish ideas, my God, doesn't get better.
Thank you so much for this interview, and thank you for the program. We look forward to seeing it November 15th and 16th at Heliconian Hall. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
My guests on this episode of The Fuse were curator Alison Mackay and actor R.H. Thompson. They are a huge component of the upcoming Confluence show, Robert Burns, A Passion for Freedom, happening November 15th and 16th at 7:30 p.m. at Heliconian Hall in Toronto. Please join us. Tickets and more information can be found at confluenceconcerts.ca. That's the end of our program. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Larry Beckwith, and I look forward to welcoming you back to the next episode of The Fuse in a short while. Bye for now.